You don't want to hurt the boy, Harvey.
It's not about what I want. It's about what's fair! You thought we could be decent men in an indecent time. But you were wrong. The world is cruel. And the only morality in a cruel world is chance. Unbiased, unprejudiced, fair.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Did you know that Two-Face uses a coin toss to decide on whether to do a good or bad thing?
Yeah, I think it's maybe one of the most iconic things about his personality.
I know, and it's so cool. So
yeah, it's really cool to decide whether or not to murder and rob people based on a coin flip. Yeah, I see your point, but go ahead.
It's okay. It seems a little bit thrilling, okay?
Hmm.
So he tosses a coin, and then after the coin toss, if it lands on the scratched up side of the coin, he'll do a naughty thing. If the coin lands on the smooth, clean side, he does a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, like you said, Joe, he'll toss the coin to decide whether to kill someone or let them go. Maybe he'll use the coin toss to decide whether he should join in on fighting a bunch of people in a building during a heist or not doing that. Wow. Okay, so I am so intrigued by this, I'm going to try it out, actually. I'm going to use a coin to determine whether or not I should do a good or bad thing.
Like murder someone?
No, but it does involve doing something evil to you.
Okay.
So, mwahaha. So, I don't have the same exact coin that Two-Face had, that was like Gotham currency or something, but I do have a penny with Abraham Lincoln's face on it. And I scratched up his face.
I think that's against the law.
Is it?
You're not supposed to destroy money.
Oh, well, it's still usable.
You're not in the U.S., so they can't get you.
That's true. Can't get me. I'm going to scratch Abe's head. Sorry, nothing against Abe. So I scratched up the head of Abraham Lincoln. And then the tails is clean and nice and shiny. Listeners can't see this, but if it lands on heads, the evil thing that I will do is post fake rumors and secrets about you, Joe. And I'll post them all over social media.
Oh, wow. I'm really scared.
For real? Or are you like kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Kidding?
I'm shaking in my boots.
Good. I'll like write rumors like, did you know Joe cries when he eats potatoes in the rain? Or like, Joe ate a mysterious plant that made him neigh like a horse the whole night. Or something like that, right?
Yes, definitely not true. That's definitely never happened.
If it lands on tails, the good side, I will do community service the week that this episode comes out and pick up some trash from the street. So duality, you can only do something good or bad.
You're not going to say good things about me?
Oh, I guess I didn't think of that. I'm too evil to think of something like that.
All right, fine. Good deeds are better.
I figured you'd like the community service idea.
I'm very vain, though. That's what you forgot.
Well, we could heighten up the stakes. I could do both good things if it lands on tails. If it lands on heads, I could punch a wall.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? The suspense is really killing
okay,
us.
Okay. All right. It's tails.
You sound so disappointed.
I am. Well, you know what? I'm going to be like Two-Face and just accept it. And be like, you know what? It wants me to do something good. The world, the universe wants me to do something good. I will do that. How did you feel about doing that activity? Did you think, was there like a rush of adrenaline?
I'm going to be completely honest.
Okay.
No.
No. Okay. Why? Because the stakes weren't high enough. I wasn't going to like shoot something.
Tiana, one thing maybe to know about yourself is that you're just not a threatening persona.
Oh, shit.
And unfortunately, I just never felt that you were going to do me any real harm.
It's true that deep down, I don't want to actually do you harm.
You threatened to write about me crying while eating a potato.
Yeah, because I'm too good to write something so bad. I could.
But you're not going to.
I'm not going to. I can't.
You are not like the villain that we are discussing today. Eventually we're going to talk about Harvey Dent, a.k.a. Two-Face from the Batman series. He's one of the OG villains, dates way back to some of the very early Batman comic books, and he's still pretty iconic today, appearing, I think, most recently in the animated Harley Quinn series, and then just about every Batman series in between has featured this character because he is so well, I don't know if loved is the right word, but
people are intrigued.
People like him a lot.
Yeah, people are intrigued. They're like, wow, you have two faces. Impressive.
Yeah, and actually, so I work at a college, and it was Halloween a month or so ago, and I work in the mail center, and a student came in the weekend after Halloween, and he had half of his beard shaved off. And so he just had half his face had a beard and the other half didn't. And I was like, you have a good time this weekend?
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe he had like, you know, passed out and his friends had like shaved half his face. And he was like, no, I was just Two-Faced for Halloween. And I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know that the kids these days still know this character, but apparently he is respected even among Gen Z.
Yeah, of course. And it's also impressive that he was Two-Faced because I think it takes a lot of makeup and artistic ability to like paint that side of your face, the face that's scarred. Must have taken him a long time.
Yeah, it depends how much work you put into it.
Yeah.
Now, Tiana, I didn't know this about you until recently, but you are obsessed with Two-Face.
I am.
So we're going to let you sort of rattle off here and I'll add some color as I can with a little added information. But I think this is your show today.
Yeah, I love Two-Face. I'm going to get into more as to why I love Two-Face. But yeah, let's do a brief overview.
That's what the podcast is all about.
That's what it's all about. I love Two-Face. I wish I could embody his persona, but apparently that's impossible for me.
You got too much Harvey Dent in you.
I have too much. You know what? I'll talk more about that. I do have a lot of Harvey Dent in me. I do feel like there is a dark side, though. It just hasn't been released yet. So I don't know if you can come over and maybe throw some acid on my face. Just that might help, you know, unleash the darkness within me. Do you think you could do that? I just want to be badass, just like once.
Yeah, I'm going to board a plane with a bucket of acid and fly internationally through customs.
Into China.
To China.
And you're going to have to quarantine because of the COVID policies. So you're just going to have this like bucket of acid with you in the hotel room while they like, you know, take your, you know,
no, go,
do
go
COVID
find
tests
your own
on
acid.
You every day. I'll find my own acid. Okay, anywho.
All right, let's hear about Two-Face.
Yes. So obviously his name was Harvey Dent and he was the district attorney of Gotham. Duh, Batman fans know this.
Yeah. Fun fact, his original name was Harvey Kent.
Oh yeah, I did know that.
But they were like, oh, this sounds too much like Clark Kent.
Right.
People are gonna get confused. And so they made the dramatic change to Dent.
Yeah. And I kinda wish they would have kept Kent a little bit because then maybe they would show that they're related or like have like a storyline where they're related. But then I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense because he's an alien.
Well, yeah, but he's adopted into the Kent family. So he could have been true. Like a cousin or an uncle or.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity. I don't think they knew about like multiverse or like universe crossovers and the financial opportunities they could have created with that. in the 40s.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so obviously Harvey Dent was the youngest district attorney. He was considered charming and snazzy. When he was Harvey Dent, he wanted to clean up the streets of Gotham and worked closely with Batman and Commissioner Gordon to do that. He prosecuted the criminals that Batman brought to him. And there are a lot of different origin stories for him, but they usually involve acid getting thrown on him. He then gets scarred, and then he gives in to the dark side of himself.
Doesn't it seem like there's an awful lot of acid hanging around in Gotham City?
Right? I think that too, right? Maybe that's what needs to happen to clean up Gotham. You have to take away the acid. What do they need acid for?
I don't know, but there's giant vats of it that
yeah.
without covers on them all over
that people
place.
Just jump in willingly.
Yeah.
Just on a regular Wednesday. I want to go into some acid. No, I don't. Okay. His very first origin story comes from his debut in DC. It was in Detective Comics number 66, published in 1942. He was scarred with acid by a criminal he prosecuted. When the side of his face was scarred, people in Gotham were scared of him, and even his own fiance could not bear the sight of him, which is sad. And so he went mad. And that is very sad. You know, there are different origin stories about how the face scarring went down, but they're always about, you know, pushing him over to the edge, giving into the dark side of himself that he was probably suppressing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had been seeking out the good and trying to clean up Gotham and being the good DA for so long, but it's like this dark side was let out when they peeled his skin back.
Oh, that feels like a metaphor, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll maybe get into it later.
Yeah. Okay.
as a villain, then, Two-Face then devotes his life to crime and likes to get revenge on people who try to take him down. He oftentimes wants to kill and humiliate Batman for getting in the way of his goals of running Gotham and getting in the way of him being able to do whatever he wants in Gotham. And of course, Two-Face uses the coin toss, as we said in the beginning. So I think Two-Face is telling us that good or bad things happen to us only because of chance and luck.
Well, that's kind of his whole thing in The Dark Knight. The Christopher Nolan Batman when Harvey Dent switches over, his whole thing is kind of like, you can try all you want, but really it's like all comes down to chance.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating because Harvey Dent, before he was Two-Face, he worked so hard for the good and he had like a crazy work ethic where he dedicated his life to making Gotham better. He was the White Knight, right? He worked really hard in trying to make Gotham a good place by prosecuting villains and helping Batman and Gordon. But then one regular day, on a random afternoon, from his origin story, right, he got acid thrown on him in court, which was like kind of a random act, right? Like, what are the odds that someone mad at you would even choose to throw acid on you? And then boom, his life changed. And none of his work ethic or striving for goodness in the past helped him dodge that scarring. So of course he, as Two-Face, now believes that at the end of the day, good or bad things happening to you just depends on luck or lack of luck in your life. To him, what happens to you cannot be stopped with effort or by personal choice because none of that stopped his downfall or his scarring. Instead, what happens to you is based on randomness. So now he carries a coin that decides for him whether he should do good or bad things, because at the end of the day, it's up to the universe and fate on whether good or bad things happen. It's not in his hands. It sadly never was. So yeah, that's why he's obsessed with chance and luck, right? And I can understand why he started to feel like everything is up to chance and why he upholds that understanding, because you know, there are some really awful things that can happen to people, and sometimes it'll happen to them pretty randomly. They didn't make the awful things happen themselves, and maybe they even tried to prevent it. But fate took hold and terrible things happened to them anyway. There are so many things that are out of our control, and it's infuriating, but it feels like Two-Face just accepts it and embraces it. Because if you can't fight it, you just have to embrace it, and you use a coin to decide. Because in the end, it's just up to the universe anyway.
Yeah, and I'll just mention this briefly because I don't think either of us really care to delve into it too much. But they do give him a little bit of a backstory. I don't remember in which series it was in, where he does have an abusive father who would use the coin flip to decide whether or not to beat him or not, which is interesting and does sort of a descriptive job of explaining partially how he came to be who he is. But I think we both agree that's sort of the cop-out backstory that is like, oh, that's the easy explanation. And it's sad and unfortunate. I don't want to dismiss that pain that he went through. It's one reason that you could help explain why he is who he is. And again, bad things, just because you've had a bad past doesn't justify anything bad that you've done. Mm-hmm. Also, I just want to note for our listeners, because I don't know if this is getting picked up on the recording, but there is just like a terrible rain and windstorm happening outside my house right now. So if you hear some background noise, that could be it. It's kind of scary, to be honest.
Yeah, I think maybe that's good for a Two-Face episode.
Yeah.
Two-Face is here. Will you die or you live? Sorry, I don't mean to scare you more.
that's all right.
So I love Two-Face because he is a walking metaphor. And it's so cool. Obviously, he represents two-facedness, being your ally to your face, but being your enemy behind your back. Or he could even be nice to your face, but then be your enemy's friend behind your back. People have found themselves being two-faced in real life. We have all been two-faced in some kind of way. He also represents this idea that people have good and bad selves within them, and we're capable of leaning into one of these selves or the other, and which one we lean into might also depend on random chance or the lucky or unlucky occurrences in our lives that push us in one way or the other. Because the random thing that happened to Two-Face was getting acid poured on him, and that pushed him into his dark side. But he still has, you know, this duality of goodness and evilness within him, and that's partly why he uses the coin as well. He is still capable of good. If the coin tells him to do good. Obviously, he acts two-faced. My favorite dupe, like two-faced dupe of his, of course, is from like the Harley Quinn animated series. When Two-Face was locked up in Arkham Asylum, do you remember this episode? And he acted like he was on Commissioner Gordon's side and told Commissioner Gordon about a wedding where all the Gotham villains would be, which is great for Gordon because then Gordon can go there and arrest all the villains.
Yeah.
And then Two-Face can gain Gordon's trust by telling him this info, which will have its own benefits in his taking over Gotham goals. But then Two-Face turned around and used the information about Gordon's plan to bait Harley Quinn into helping him break out of Arkham Asylum. So being friends with everyone, or seeming like he's on everyone's side, provides him with a lot of benefits. Being Two-Faced provides some, you know, gets you some good stuff.
Yeah, well, I would say, and I know we're supposed to be empathizing with the dude, I think being two-faced can often give you sort of short-term gains.
Yeah.
But can have a negative effect over the long term, right? when both sides that you're playing might eventually realize that you're being two-faced.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, important to recognize that manipulation is not inherently bad. My boss talks about this a lot at work. He always talks about me being really manipulative, but that it's a good thing. And it's because like I recognize that being nice and developing relationships with people, even when I don't necessarily like them, can be like beneficial to being successful and getting things done. And that in itself is a form of manipulation. So I just want to mention that like, manipulation is not inherently bad. You can use it to good ends. I don't know that Two-Face really does that, but it might have been a way that he was successful as a DA and is also maybe successful in his goals at being a mob boss, is that he knows both sides really well. One thing we haven't mentioned yet is that as Harvey Dent, he was really good friends with Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Commissioner Gordon. and worked alongside them really well. And knowing them and then becoming a villain and knowing the mob side really helped him excel, because this is a guy who doesn't have any special powers.
That's true.
Yet he is an incredibly successful and powerful villain. And I think a big part of that is how smart he is and the fact that he knows both sides really well. So he knows how to like navigate and manipulate himself through the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. He understands that you also kind of have to help people too in order for you to be helped.
That's that manipulation.
Yeah, it's that manipulation. Also that duality, you know, sneaking in there, like, I'm going to help you by telling you this information, and then you help me, and then I'm going to turn around and then hurt you. But, oh, yeah. He's so cool. So, yeah, that's what I have on Two-Face.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing we haven't really touched on is sort of the mental health side of this, which I was really interested in specifically because of how much they delved into it in the Batman animated series from the early 90s, which I remember watching growing up. And now just doing my research for this episode, I really want to go back and revisit because it seems like a really good series. So I think it's episode 17 and 18 of that series where we see Harvey Dent become Two-Face. And he sort of is dealing with this thing where he's got this side of him, which he sort of is referred to as Big Bad Harvey. And there are a couple times when he gets angry and he just sort of like unleashes and acts really aggressively. And he's trying to suppress all that because he's running a campaign and he like wants to be likable and approachable. And Bruce Wayne actually approaches him and is like, hey, you know, maybe you should get some help because this, like, it's not great that you're like blowing up at people. And so he actually is seeing, I don't know if a therapist or a psychiatrist for help on this Big Bad Harvey thing so he can try to get it under control. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work out. The psychiatrist sort of puts him into a hypnosis, which in some ways almost seems to pull out the Big Bad Harvey side of him more and bring that out into the world. But she diagnoses him with DID, dissociative identity disorder, which is something that I've done quite a bit of reading about. I was in a relationship with somebody who talked about it quite a bit and who experienced dissociation. I always get that word wrong. Experienced that a lot. And so it's sort of, and again, I'm not a medical professional, so don't take any of this as fact or science, but it's sort of this feeling of sort of being outside of your body, and acting very differently. It's like sort of like a switch happens and maybe you have like no emotions or whatever anyways. I guess what I'm getting at is sort of a way I empathize with Harvey. Even if you don't have DID, which it is pretty rare, it's not very prevalent that you have like these multiple personalities that you like split between. But I think a lot of people do understand and recognize the idea that like you can shift moods and sort of be stuck in a particular mood. Like sometimes just something will happen and set you off and you'll become angry, and it's sometimes really hard, even when you know you like have no good reason to be angry, it's hard to switch back and you're just in that mode for a while. So like I will do that. So like something will set me off and it's like a tiny little thing that's like no big deal at all. And all of a sudden I'll be really angry and I know that it's silly of me, but it takes me like, it might take me like a half hour to like switch back into normal mode. I don't know. Did I say anything meaningful there or did I just ramble for
No, that's really interesting because I didn't know that about dissociative personality disorder, that it can be hard to get out of an emotion and that you feel stuck in it.
Yeah. Or you can feel like sort of like an observer of your own body doing things that maybe are not how you want to be acting.
Yeah, that makes sense for Harvey Dent because he seems very stuck in different personas, even the good persona, maybe he was a little bit stuck in the good side.
Yeah. Well, I think the idea is, at least like something that we talk about a lot in my therapy, and I think what I've read about, you know, DID or bipolar, is that we have these different sides to ourselves. You know, like sometimes we are really angry, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And that, like, if we suppress it or section it off, it doesn't make it better. It still exists. And so really, like, one of the goals is to sort of bring all these different parts of you together into one being, you know, and recognizing and understanding and feeling that it's okay to be angry sometimes. It's okay to experience and express that emotion. You just have to choose to not, like, you know, beat people or do dangerous or illegal things, but it's still okay to be angry. And it's like, how can you live in the world with all of these emotions that you have and express them in an appropriate way? That's like, I think the ideal. That's what I'm dealing with, is like, I think I have a lot of this hidden anger that I've been working on in therapy. And I have a lot of shame and guilt about that anger, because a lot of times I feel like it's unjustified. Like, I'm angry for reasons that, to me, don't seem like legitimate reasons to be angry. So I like suppress it and I push it down, and then it just like builds and builds until I'm just like in this really emotional state where I just have to break down and cry. And I'm learning that if I can let that anger out and express it in an appropriate way, maybe that's like going out and doing something athletic, or maybe it's just like talking to my partner and telling her how I am feeling about something, that can release those emotions so that they don't build and then blow up, which I think is what happened to Harvey. He was suppressing this big, bad Harvey side until he couldn't suppress it any longer. And I think in the Batman animated series, that was when he got the acid on his face. It was this big traumatic event. And all of a sudden it was like a switch, and that big, bad Harvey side became like, he just gave into it, and it became the biggest part of his personality. But he still had that good Harvey in him sometimes that like continued to sort of come out from time to time, even though he was mostly doing bad things.
Have you ever heard of the shadow self?
I don't think I've heard that term, no.
Yeah, Carl Jung coined it. It's the part of you that has a lot of dark thoughts, and it's the part of you that maybe wants to go punch someone on the street and see how that goes, or get angry, or do sneaky things, or be manipulative, or... But I have actually been exploring my shadow self a lot, and the darkness that lies in it, and the darkness within me. I know in the beginning of this episode, you said, I'm not a very threatening person, but I promise you there's some dark shit, you know, in all of us, really. And by exploring that, you can learn more about yourself, and you can also start to accept the crazy, weird things about yourself, and even manage it better, actually, when you know about it and when you're aware of it. And if you keep like suppressing your shadow self, which I think is partly what Harvey Dent did, then it can get out in a very intense way, and people can blow up. And that's kind of the brief overview of the shadow self. There's much more to it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's happening is he I don't think he wanted to look at the shadow. I don't think he wanted to see the darkness within him, and he kept pushing it down and striving for goodness. He had good intentions, but then when you do that and you don't accept these dark parts of you, it's just going to engulf you then eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I just want to state, despite all the things I said and that now Tiana is saying, we are not medical professionals, and we're not at all diagnosing Harvey Dent here. But whether it's DID or bipolar, the shadow self, like, one thing that sort of seems to be true, regardless of what you call it, is that Harvey has this dark side within him that for years and years he never let out. And the consequence of that seems to be that, for whatever reason, when he went through this traumatic event in the Christopher Nolan movie. I think it was an explosion. In a lot of the other series, it was something to do with chemical or acid in some way that flipped a switch in him, and all of that stuff, all of that parts of himself that he had been pushing down came out in like a really powerful way and overtook him. And you have to wonder if he had had an outlet for that, if he had let himself experience those emotions throughout his life, if maybe he wouldn't have had such a strong reaction, and maybe he wouldn't have turned bad. Maybe he could have used that side of himself, right? Because like, anger isn't necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it's a really useful and motivating emotion. Like, if you're using it for good, you can use that anger to get things that are positive. And it's a shame that he's not able to do that, and that he's instead ended up on a path where he's using that anger to do crime.
Yeah. And now he flies helicopters into buildings now. So great. Good job, Two-Face. I also want to keep talking kind of about goodness and badness, and or good and evil within a person, and kind of duality within myself. One thing that people might think is annoying about Two-Face is just his obsession with duality and how there's just good or bad that you can do. So there's like no nuance, there's no grayness, there's no in-between, there's just good or evil. Simple guy, keeping it simple. He believes there's just good or bad parts of yourself, and there's just good or bad you can do. That seems really simple, but I can understand where he's coming from in this simple belief that there's only two parts of you, because sometimes I think of myself as having just good or bad parts of me or within me. Sometimes I'm, you know, the bad face, and then sometimes I'm the good Harvey Dent face in front of other people. So I also think I'm really good at morphing myself to what other people would find pleasing, and my ability to do that is sometimes scares me a little bit. So for example, like when I'm around a coworker who is a rather wholesome person, for example, they wouldn't like weird, uncomfortable jokes, and they deem work ethic to be a great virtue. You bet, you know, I will become good Tiana in front of them. You know, I'll pretend I've never been someone to think of a naughty joke, or I will work very hard in front of them. I will be their Harvey Dent, and I'll look very wholesome. It's very easy for me to look wholesome, even though I'm really not.
Yeah, I want to release some weight off your shoulders. It seems like you feel like this is a negative thing about yourself, but I think most of us do that, though. Like, I think it's a very relatable, like, whether or not how extreme, but I think it might even be sort of a part of a good, successful life is being able to sort of adjust yourself to the people that you're with in order to accommodate better for them. It's actually maybe even extreme empathy.
Maybe, but the downside of that is that that's not the whole me.
Yeah.
And, you know, unwholesome Tiana is still a part of me, but it's not the whole me. But then when I get in front of other people who are not wholesome, right, I will show more of my dark self on the outside. And let's be honest, my more fun self in front of those people. I've also felt a lot of duality growing up because I grew up in a religious household. Growing up, you know, the good part of myself would like being good sometimes. You know, I would get good grades and I would watch television that was considered wholesome, or television that my parents approve of me watching, and I would go to church and I would go to youth group and I would pray and I would try to do like community service, you know, and I would be like, oh, I gotta be good. But then there would be this bad quote unquote bad part of me that I would switch to, who would like secretly watch Family Guy at night, which in my household was considered very bad. And I would go into the cabin in the woods and disturb other campers by screaming in the night and getting drunk with friends and smoking weed and like peeing in the bushes. And my mom, for example, never found out about that part of me, and I hope she never does. Also, having this duality growing up had some awkwardness to it. Once when I was in high school, I smoked weed for like the first time. And then a week later, I went to youth group on like one Wednesday night. And while we were praying as a group in like the church basement, the youth group leader asked me that I pray for high schoolers who smoke weed and to pray that God will save them from marijuana. And I felt so guilty. I felt so scared because, oh my God, she knows, God knows that I smoked weed and now I have to pray for other people who smoke weed. And it's like awkward, right? But I think a lot of people can relate to things like this. Mm. You know, we have to sometimes show this good and this bad. But what's hard about that is sometimes you wish you could just show both at once in order to show your whole you and to be the holistic you. And I've just also just felt this duality within me my whole life. And so I can see where Two-Face is coming from in believing that duality of this goodness and badness is a true thing within people and is a thing that people switch back and forth through.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very real.
Okay. This is my poem. Two-Face hits on you at the bar. Hello, majestic one. How are you doing at this bar? Do you want an hors d'oeuvre? Thanks for saying yes and wanting me to come over. You want a drink? You summoned me as your witness, so slide here on the stool. I know you have questions, like you're wondering why one half of my jacket is pink leopard print and the other half isn't as cool. You see, I go out on the town as Two-Face. They are me, both equally loved, both drenched in the rain and mud, but one might be more fun. We're not black and white. One of me is Frank Sinatra Records, and the other is plum frosting on a piece of cake. One of me is Armani Lawyer, and the other is like lo-fi hip-hop chill beats to study girl from YouTube. There's more than one layer. Myself's come with me everywhere. The sunlight in the day dries out our hair, but I like combing our locks in nighttime, sweating, dancing in neon clubs, and soon we're slicked back, we're kicked back at the bar. We do the tango every day and night under the bat moon. That guy shouldn't have bumped into you, sorry. Don't mind the goon. Anyway, every night at this bar, I think, what to do, what to play. A sultry number or some EDM to cure the bad blues away. Who knows? Who cares? If the selves can't decide, then leave it to the universe instead of some dudes. You know, when I let things happen, sometimes good things happen. Like seeing you. I threw a coin in the air to decide whether to talk to you. No, I'm chatting with you, but here's my plea. I'm guilty of wanting to. So maybe go on a date with us and you, bring on the yearning. You see, I enjoy long walks on the beach and long talks when falling from corporate buildings. With me, you can testify that on Saturdays, I show you worlds, even teach you how to peel open and explore your internal realms and doors, escape and embrace the doom that makes you feel weird. With me, we'd go to places even in the living room. If we get together, one part of me can talk to your dad about his hunting interests. The other can roll eyes when we're annoyed that he never listens. If we get together, I can go to your work parties and woo your boss, but then tell your coworker Carol about the boss's secret addiction of going to Blockbuster and enjoying the smell of nostalgia, VHS, and fiction. Gain friendship at work, get with the tricks, and get rich then. I'm business dramatic attire, I'm a Gemini moon. Myself and their desires are spread out like charcuterie. Take a bite out of the part of me that yelps at the sky and try the other who makes the local fair's Ferris wheel plummet just when looking at it. It's tangy. Chew it. Oh, this? Yes, I come with a coin, not sure about ordering the paella or the salmon with so much lemon, not sure about whether to love and forgive or to hate the way they do better than you. With me, decisions are so effortless, you'll wonder why you ever worried at night. It's like drive-through ice cream cone bliss. Did you know, by the way, I love both of myself, but I'm capable of loving even more. Did you know I've seen a guy blanket the sky with cape wings and called it terror? But the way you walk through this hell and its doors actually makes Gotham bow in fever shivers with fervor. Here, come closer. Do you think about luck a lot? We all have questions like, why did your cat run away when the sun was hot? Why do some people leave this world on quiet Tuesday afternoons even when they didn't want to leave so soon? Why do these things happen? I'll tell ya. They just do. Case closed. The judge sentences the world to happenstances, but at least with me, you won't need to fall into the uncertain world alone. At least with me, you won't have to let go like a newborn falling into these waters alone. We'll jump in together. And if the bottom is either acid or beds of roses, either way, we'll swim in what we find. It'll be like fun nights you had at the lake growing up with your friends and cousins. In a world where beings dress up as animals, let me at least be there when the rule of law gets shriveled by raunchy claws. Look, this is my plea. If the conditions of our goings together are not met, you'll be able to sue me. Look, it's not every day both of me yearns for the same thing. You. So what do you say? The sun is almost up. Think about coming with us here. Have a cigarette. If you come with, great. If not, no problem. What happens, happens. This is the life, my dear. It's always up in the air.
So good. All right, we gotta end like we always do now, every episode, with our review of the villain. Today we're going to review Two-Face on a scale of faces. How many faces out of five do you give Two-Face?
I give him 4 out of 5 faces. Actually, you know what? No, I'm going to give him 2 out of 5 faces because he only has two faces. So I actually think that's the best rating for him, right? Like, this rating is arbitrary, so it could be like a scale from 3 to 2, 4 to 2. Like, the numbers can just be jumbled up. Who knows? So, yeah, I'm going to give him the highest rating of 2 out of 5. He dupes a lot of people, even though he's called Two-Face. So that's impressive. I also find it interesting how his other half of his face changes color. Sometimes it's gray. Sometimes it's green. Sometimes it's purple. So how do you change your innards? I don't know, but Two-Face does it.
Great. I'm going to give him 2 scar faces and 1 regular face.
Okay.
Because I think he is much more successful as a villain than he is as a good guy, ultimately, unfortunately. And, you know, when you said you wanted to do this episode on Two-Face, I was kind of disappointed because I was like, Two-Face, he's such a boring character. But when I did my research and looked into him more, I became more and more interested. And I think he does offer a lot of good metaphors and a lot of good lessons, and definitely someone we can empathize with pretty heavily. So 2 scar faces, 1 regular face, which might be a really good rating, I guess, on the scale. Who knows? But that's my opinion.
That's good. I think we've covered Two-Face pretty thoroughly.
Yes, and if you disagree with us, please let us know over email. And if you agree with us, let us know publicly on Instagram or Spotify reviews or Apple Podcast reviews. You can also connect with us on Twitter, I think, or Facebook.
Facebook.
Next door villain. Do a search. You'll find us. I think Tiana's on TikTok. I don't know what that is, but I hear that it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter for sure, @nextdoorvillain. And also, yeah, be sure to rate us and review us. It really helps a lot. And if you really liked this episode, please send it to someone that you like or dislike, but they think you like them because you're two-facing them. Give it to your enemy that thinks you like them. I don't know.